During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol for this Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. I am Nate Bucati, back from Beverly Hills. Ha! That's right. That's how I roll. Better than ever. Ready to go. Excited. Refreshed. Stephen St. John decided, all right, you're back. I'm out of here, man. I don't want to hang out with you. So Stephen's gone today, but Jake Pounders, Jake Gutierrez, is running the show as always.
The constant.
You're the constant, except for when you leave.
Right. For a month. Is it Desmond? Desmond was a constant?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you do. You watched Lost, didn't you?
Yeah.
Desmond. He was the constant.
I don't remember who Desmond was. It's been a while since I saw it. Was that the one that said brother all the time?
Yeah, he was the Australian dude.
Yeah.
The boat on the boat. Desmond. Desmond, brother.
Brother.
He's the constant.
Well, you're Desmond.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I prefer Jacob, but...
How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's Thursday, almost to the weekend. I always like a good Thursday.
Almost to the weekend, almost to August. it hit me when I woke up.
Yeah, we still got like what, like 9 days left?
Yeah, we got a little over a week left
in July. Almost a third. Don't make me panic yet. Football's here though,
right?
Is that where you're going?
I mean, just
camp opened up yesterday for the Steelers and Cowboys because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. So it's football season.
So,
not that it ever stops, but
I sent you the picture of Cletus, right? Cletus being the big robot at Fox.
Yeah.
Holding up the sign.
The sign, 20 days back then.
It was 20 days, and then the last day I was there, it was 16 days. 16 days till the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing, right? That's just over 2 weeks.
Skimp, jump, and a hop.
And so, yeah, when you're at my stage in life, Jake, and you have two kids in school... football
August,
season.
August means something completely different.
We got school rolling around, man, which means a few different things, you know?
Means your nap come back and play, huh?
Yes. Means I don't have kids clogging up the house in the middle of the day on their stinking video games. Means that my wife and I don't have to pay for someone to watch those kids during the day because you got school, baby. Free daycare.
Free child
care. In the public school system. I mean, we pay for it, but you know what I mean?
Right, taxes. I pay for it, too.
Yeah, you pay. Thanks for paying for my kids' daycare during, nine months out of the year.
I love Benny and Ophie's, no problem.
So, yeah, school starts up, but it's also those things where, like, okay, what do we got to get ready to go? So, when I looked at the calendar, so late July, man, summer flies by anymore. It just flies by.
Time's moving faster.
Well,
I mean, it's statistical proof.
That's probably true in a literal sense, but also, have you ever thought about it from a...
Earth is spinning faster and vibrating higher than ever.
Okay. I'll take your word on that.
Yeah.
But I just mean from a relativity standpoint, when you're 45 years old, a year of your life is a small portion of your life. When you're 2 years old, it's half your life. You know what I mean? So honestly, a year seems like forever when you're 2 years old.
Relativity.
But when you're an old man like me, a year goes by like that. It just goes by like it's just a small little sliver of your life. And so, yeah, time does move faster the older you get. Hey, what do we got going on the show today, first of all? What we got? We got some guests.
We got some guests. We got Buster Olney coming on the show. He'll be on at 7. We got Mike DeCourcy. They got all kinds of conference talk, all kinds of news exploding Twitter yesterday.
Is it another conference Armageddon coming up?
Yeah, I think we're headed towards that, it sounds like. As there are reports that Texas and Oklahoma have been talking to the SEC about a possible... I guess realignment would be the word. But so Mike DeCourcy will jump on. He's also wrote some articles about the Olympics that are coming up. Opening ceremonies in the next couple days?
Tomorrow? I don't even know. Tomorrow, I mean, they're already playing games and sports, so I don't even know.
I think the opening ceremonies are tomorrow, but don't quote me on that. I don't work on a sports talk show or anything.
That's the Olympics. It's different. Doesn't count.
Right. Then we have Matt Derrick. at 8:05 and JJ Piccolo at 9:05 as the Royals are red hot.
Are they? They won two in a row?
Yeah, it took. I mean, they beat the Brewers.
A good Brewers team, two in a row. So they go for a streak. It's three in a row. It's got to be three in a row for a streak, right? Some people even question if three in a row is that a streak or a spurt? How many in a row do you have to win for it to be a streak? Yeah, for the Royals, we'll call that a streak. If they win today, they don't play today, huh? They play tomorrow.
Yep.
If they win tomorrow, that's a streak. Take on the Tigers. Tigers are hot. Tigers are on a streak.
Right.
I believe the Tigers have won six in a row, right?
Yep.
So
Tigers come to town Friday night, 7:10.
That'll be good.
Chris Bubich taking on Willie Peralta.
Well, remember the Tigers were supposed to be worse than the Royals?
Yes.
Before the year. Well, yes. We don't know if the Royals can catch the White Sox and Cleveland, but better than Detroit, at least.
Detroit on a six-game win streak.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
I knew you said they're on a streak. I didn't know. I was too busy looking it up once you said that.
They're five games under .500, Detroit, so they're 5.5 games ahead of the Royals in the standings. But, hey, Royals go get a sweep there. You never know. Might be able to get back in. Say, hey, they've won two in a row. Good for the Royals.
Let's get to 74, Royals.
All right, so we got Bus Rolling. We got Mike DeCourcy. What else?
Matt Derrick at 8:05 and J.J. Piccolo at 9:05. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I was looking up the Olympics when you said that. I was like, what day of Olympics? I don't know. All I see is articles about everybody's freaked out about the COVID outbreaks.
Oh, I thought more. I mean, the big news yesterday was the U.S. Women's National Team.
We'll talk with DeCourcy about that. He wrote a column on it, right?
Yes, he did.
So,
they get destroyed by Sweden.
All I saw was the goals. I didn't see the game. I was flying from L.A. to Dallas during that time, and I woke up and saw that, and all I saw was the goals. So I don't know what exactly happened in the game. But all right, so Matt Derrick talking Chiefs, J.J. Piccolo talking Royals. We got a busy show coming up for you. We got a lot to get to as well. You heard in the highlights there. Okay, Royals win. Good deal there. Sporting Kansas City had a chance to move into first place in the West with what was a wild game last night, especially the finish. There were controversial decisions. And anytime we get a coach lambasting the referees after a game, we like that, right? We like to play that. So we got that yesterday. Peter Vermees, who actually was not there at the game because he was in the health and safety protocol, is what they call it. He did do the post-game news conference. I thought that was interesting. He wanted to. He said, hey, I watched the game. I know what happened. I have thoughts on it. So, and Peter Vermees is the kind of guy, like, when he has thoughts on a game, you want to hear it because he says what he thinks. He's not one of these coaches or players that gives you the old one game at a time cliches. And he had some serious thoughts about the ref in last night's game. And it was video review that was the controversial talking point again. I keep saying it. If people think that putting video review in will eliminate controversy from sports, they're wrong. It can help eliminate some of the big mistakes. But then you can also have some times when people think that a huge mistake was made, maybe even worse, by video review. And maybe that's what happened last night in the Sporting game. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about this latest conference realignment hubbub. As it came out yesterday that unnamed sources say that Texas and Oklahoma might want to leave the Big 12 and join the SEC.
Oh, man, nothing gets me going like conference realignment talk again.
Now do you sound like you're being a little facetious there, a little sarcastic.
I know. I mean, it is the biggest topic, and it is worth discussing, but it's just I hate it. It's stupid. Oh, just, I don't know.
What do you hate about it?
I mean, it's all about money. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we're sports fans.
So you it's not necessarily the talking about it that you hate. You just hate it. You hate the fact that it's a thing. The fact that conference realignment keeps happening in college athletics.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm with you there.
All the
okay,
above.
I'm
all
with
the
you
above.
There.
I mean, we have to talk about it because it's happening, right? And so the fact that it's happening is what I hate, and therefore the cause and the effect is we're talking about it. So
the Big 12 seems to be at the center of it. It seems to be the perfect poaching ground.
Again.
You know, for all this. And I hate that part. It's a topic that seems to be made for talk radio. Last time around, if you remember 2011, it was a topic that was just tailor-made for talk radio because every half hour, it seemed like, there was a new development in the story. And every athletic director and even like governor of states, governors of states had something to say and had loose lips and were talking to people left and right. And so you wanted to sit by the radio to hear what was going on and what was going to be said next. And everybody was very emotionally attached to it. Maybe this time around, people won't be quite as upset or attached to it because they've gone through it once before. Or maybe they will. Maybe they'll be tired of it. They'll have a little fatigue like Jake does. I will tell you this. Since that round of Conference Armageddon in 2011, my fandom of college athletics has only decreased on an annual basis. Is it all because of conference realignment? No, that would oversimplify it. But for me, it's exactly what Jake said a moment ago that has caused my fandom of college athletics to decrease over time. I still like my old state U. Like I'll always care about Kansas. I'll always be a Jayhawk fan. I mean, that's where I went to school. You know, that's where I spent my time. It's where my family went, all that stuff. And if you're a K-State fan, you feel the same way. Missouri fan, whatever. And that's one of the name of our show is based in our former rivalry between Kansas and Missouri. They're trying to reignite a little bit. But even that is about money. Even that is not about the history and the passion. It's about money. It's about trying to, okay, we were losing ticket revenue. How can we juice the ticket revenue a little bit here? That's what that was about. In my opinion, that was one of the first things that I hated about Jeff Long was the fact that he reignited that rivalry for money and threw away the passion that the fan base had for a certain situation. That's my opinion. Now, not everybody feels that way. And maybe it's ironic to say that by reigniting that rivalry, you're being greedy. But to me, that was what was behind it. That was the principle of it. We don't watch college sports because they're good. We don't. We don't watch college sports because of the product on the field or court and the quality of it. Because it isn't close to the pros. If you watch these NBA finals and you really watched them and you compare that to what we see in college basketball, it's not close. You see players in college basketball like Frank Mason, consensus player of the year, can barely get on the court in the NBA. He was a great college basketball player. Can barely see the court. Because that's how good those guys are. It's how good the game is. College football can't hold a candle to the NFL. I mean, it's not even close. And people talk about, oh man, how would the Alabama do if they played against fill in the blank on the worst team in the NFL? They'd get crushed. Crushed! They would get eviscerated. Even the best Alabama teams and the teams at Alabama that have number one draft picks, they would get crushed. We watch college sports because of everything around it. The history, the connection the fans have to their teams, the rivalries. That's the stuff that makes the traditions. That's the stuff that makes college athletics sometimes even more entertaining than professional sports. It's not the quality of play. Now, you could say the intensity sometimes, especially like in the NBA, regular season basketball is not that intense because they can't
play. And the
dramatics.
There's a level of drama that's involved.
Like the NCAA tournament, exactly. For example. Yeah, because there's a finality to every game. Yeah. You know, there is more intensity.
There's a flair for the dramatics.
You know, you can't lose the first two games and then go win the series the way the Bucks did right. A few times in this tournament. You have to win the first game. You have to win the only game you play. So, yes, there's sometimes more drama. But it's, again, it's not the quality of the players or, you know.
There's stories. There's great stories. Or kids came from, you know, whatever. There's.
I'm not saying it's a, but my.
You're talking about the quality of play on the court or the
field.
Why
do we love college athletics is what I'm talking about, right?
There's the drama and the stories.
Yeah.
The drama and the stories.
And the history and the attachment you have to your schools.
That's part of the stories.
And the pageantry of it all. You know, a college football game day is awesome. So many, you get to go back to your old campus or to the campus that you loved, even if you didn't go to school there. You get to see the marching band and all the traditions that they have, you know, all those things. And college athletics have proceeded to walk away from a lot of those traditions over time. And every time it's been for money, right? Every time it's been for money. And it's gotten to the point now where college athletics are much more like the pros than they are what college athletics used to be.
Well, especially now that the Alabama quarterback is making $1 million.
Yeah, well. And I don't begrudge him that.
No.
I don't at all.
I wish I was an Alabama quarterback right now.
But, what we're seeing now is the players are going to finally get their hands in the pot. The coaches and administrators have been getting rich off of college athletics for years. You know, that's not new. The players getting rich off it is new. But the coaches and administrators have been getting rich off it forever. And that's why they've been making all these decisions. Who can make them? Where can we make the most money? And old traditions and rivalries have been crapped on all over the country as a process, and it very well could happen again. And so that's why we don't. I mean that and I look at it and I'm like, well, if you're a Missouri fan now, you probably love the SEC, right? Because you're in it. I think a lot of Missouri fans honestly would look at it here in Kansas City and go, you know what? It hasn't been the same. It has not been the same not being in the same conference with all the other schools around here. If you live in St. Louis, maybe you don't care at all. But around here, you're not in the same league with any of the teams around here anymore.
But also right now, if you're a Missouri fan, you got to feel pretty good where you're sitting.
100%. You're in the one league that seems to be stable.
Right.
You're in the one league that seems to be stable.
Yeah. I mean, there are old Missouri fans that grew up with the rivalry that miss it, that it is not the same, but nothing is, right? Everything changes and evolves. So, I mean, with the good comes the bad, right? So that's the bad part of it, but about being in the SEC, you miss the rivalries. You know, there is a level of missing out when the Big 12 tournament's here in town. You know, I've talked to my Missouri fans. They're friends of mine. They miss that. They miss Missouri playing in the, you know, going down to Power and Light and watching them play in the Big 12 tournament and the Big 8 tournament down at Kemper. Sure, they miss that. They miss how much basketball means to that school because it means less. It does. They're an SEC school now, right? I think that's different for them.
Just means less?
Yes. If it's basketball in the SEC, it just means less. But right now, they're sitting in a pretty healthy spot. They've been to a couple SEC championships in football. They've, you know, tasted a little success in that conference. It's been a while, but, you know, look, they are in a much better spot right now than Kansas and Kansas State. They are.
Well, they were then, too. And they got to a better spot. They got to the SEC, the one stable place. And yeah, if you're Kansas and K-State, you got to look at it and go, oh, God. Now, again?
Again, right.
Our existence in a relevant league is going to be tied to what Oklahoma and Texas decide to do. And here's the thing. Think about it this way, and we'll take a break. That last Armageddon happened 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And KU at the time was like, man, we got to get good in football or we're in trouble if this happens again.
Yep.
and they proceeded to get worse somehow year after year after year for 10 years trying to get better in case that happened again, and they've done the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So here you are. Here you are. I actually think I like the coach now. I think he's got a chance to at least make him relevant. But he hadn't even, you know, he hadn't even coached a game yet. Every hire, every decision they've made at Kansas for football since then has gotten things worse. And so here you go. How'd that work out for you? We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. All right, so we're talking about this potential conference realignment story again. In case you haven't seen it and you're wondering what's causing us to talk about this now, the Houston Chronicle reported that the Big 12 bigwigs, Texas and Oklahoma, have inquired about joining the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma issued statements that were not exactly denials. Texas, their statement was, quote, speculation swirls around college athletics. We will not address rumors and speculation. So that's not a denial, right? That's just, we're not addressing that. Oklahoma basically said the same thing. Quote, the college athletics landscape is shifting constantly. We don't address every anonymous rumor. End quote. Again, not a denial. Well, SEC Media Day is going on. And the commissioner, Greg Sankey, said basically the same thing. I'm not going to address rumors. Think about the position the SEC's in right now, where it's like, yeah, the only two relevant football programs in the Big 12 want to join us. And when I say relevant, that's not fair. I mean, the other teams win. I mean, the look at Iowa State. Here's my problem with college football. It's like, does anybody feel like Iowa State has a real shot to get to a national championship game in college football? They got to the Big 12 championship game last year. Does anybody feel like they've got a real shot? Like, maybe if they went undefeated. Like, if they didn't lose a game and then won the Big 12 championship game, maybe they'd have a shot. But if they lose anywhere along the way, no shot. It doesn't feel like to me. Like, and I know they're going to expand the field, and maybe once they expand the field, that'll solve part of that problem.
Well, I think that'll solve a huge part of that problem, because if you're not right now, if you're not Clemson, Ohio State, or Alabama,
and Oklahoma,
and you know, well, I mean,
they get into the tournament. Okay, they might not have a chance to win it when they always get in the tournament.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If you're Oklahoma or Texas and you win the Big 12, they'll put you in.
Yeah,
but if you're one of the other Big 12 schools and you win the Big 12, you're not getting into the tournament. You're not getting into the playoff when it's at four teams.
Yeah.
They'll take two SEC schools before they take Baylor.
Ask Baylor and TCU.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So maybe expanding the field will actually make it feel like it's a legitimate competition that everyone has a chance in. We'll see. But it's the same right now. It's the same teams every single year. Apparently that does well for ratings. You know, the NBA ratings were good when it was Cleveland and Golden State every single year. I think these playoffs were far more entertaining because you didn't know who was going to win. You didn't know who was going to get there. And that's what makes sports, the NFL playoffs, are tremendous. You don't know who's going to win. That's what makes it great, you know? And hopefully college football gets there. But this is what you have. This is why you have this story. And they say it's an ever-shifting landscape, so maybe it's just a story that you'll live with forever. Let's hear what Mr. SEC Paul Feinbaum has to say.
He says this is why the SEC would take Oklahoma and Texas.
If they didn't take them, someone else would. And if you're the Southeastern Conference and you are the biggest and baddest guy on the street, and two of the biggest brands, the most attractive entities in this platform are suddenly saying, we want in and we're going somewhere. And if you don't want us, we'll go west, we'll go north, or we'll go east. And you're the SEC, and you have the biggest television package about to go into effect in a couple of years on ESPN, and you have everything else going your way. You have your own conference network. You say, okay, let's sit down, let's figure it out. And the biggest obstacles really are what we were talking about a second ago. Where did this story come from? A lot of people think it came from Texas A&M to try to stop it, but I don't think it can be stopped.
Yeah, Texas A&M does not want Texas in that league. Their athletic director came out and said, look, we left because we wanted to be the only Texas school in the SEC. We don't want to be tied to Texas. They don't like being Texas's little brother. And all of a sudden, when they're in the SEC, they're not Texas's little brother anymore. They're in a completely different league, and they're in the better league. Boy, that's going to make them so mad. If Texas then is like, yep, here we are. We're Texas, and there's nothing you can do about it. We're joining. And Oklahoma State's not real happy about it either, right? So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Well, just a little personal, if you'll indulge me for a second, a little personal thing. It was a whirlwind for the past few days for me. Being out in Los Angeles, getting to do some of that work at Fox, and then fly home overnight and have a sporting game last night, turn around, get up, do the show this morning, and I'm not complaining about a single second of it because I had the freaking time of my life out there. I did. I had the time of my life. I realize a lot of you listening right now probably weren't super interested in the Guadalupe versus Suriname game that was played in the Gold Cup. But for me, I got to go out to L.A. and work on the Fox set. I took about 45 minutes before the game that I called on Tuesday. I just got there early, and I just walked around. And I sent you guys some pictures, but the big TV sets, you know, the studios, huge studios, I don't know if how many of them there were, 10 of them, whatever. The big trailers where all the actors and actresses are hanging out, getting ready to go film their shows. The compound. Yeah. And I just walked around. I was like, is it okay? I don't want to get in trouble or anything. I did not look like I belonged there because I had my phone. I'm taking pictures of every, because they got cool movie scenes painted on the different buildings. The Die Hard scene where Bruce Willis is climbing through the air ducts is painted on the side of one of the studio buildings. And there's palm trees everywhere and all this. And I'm like, I'm working here for a day. I get to say that I work here today. I get pass. I drive on the lot. And then you walk in and there's a big Cletus robot there with the sign that says, you know, how many days till college football starts. So for me, we'll see if I ever get invited back out there again. But the way I tried to look at it was, you know what? This might be it. I mean, all I'm guaranteed is a couple games out here. I'm hope to put my best foot forward and get more chances to do games like that. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay in Kansas City. But if there's the opportunity that I can be one of the people that they called to do games like that, heck yeah, man. I would love for that to be a part of what I get to do. I mean, I grew up watching those guys on TV. So to be at the set where they do the NFL on Fox. And they were taping some stuff that they're going to be running during the season, some features and things like that. So some of the NFL guys were there. I got to meet them and shake hands with them and talk to them and everything. Like, to me, that was, you know, I've been a fan of those guys. This is the industry I've always loved ever since I was a little kid, you know. And so to see them and be around them and everything was really, really cool for me. So I was pretty fired up coming home. And then had a sporting game last night that was freaking off the rails by the time it got to stoppage time. And I know there's a lot of you listening to this right now that think the concept of games ending in ties is ridiculous. Fine, I get that. I'm just here to tell you that last night was an example that all ties are not boring, because one team was pretty happy to walk away with a point yesterday and one team was not. And Peter Vermes was one of those people who was not. Now, he was watching the game from his living room or his basement or wherever, makeshift basement maybe, from his house, because he was in the protocol. And he still did the Zoom afterwards. And there was a penalty that was given by the referee. Johnny Russell was dribbling through the penalty area. He went to ground because the guy went through a sliding tackle. He kind of jumped over it, fell to his knees, then popped right back up and tried to keep playing. One of the things that many people hate about the sport of soccer, you hear him complain about, is the diving and the flopping and rolling around. Johnny Russell went to ground and then jumped right back up and kept playing with the ball at his foot. The referee stopped play, called a penalty. Then, video assistant referee said, hey, come take another look at this. I think you got it wrong.
So stupid.
So he comes back over, he looks at it, decides there wasn't any contact, and that the guy got the ball, so it's not a penalty. But you stopped an attack. The guy had the ball in the penalty area.
The video replay, I know it's a moot point because it's in play. It should be used for offsides and if a ball crosses the line to go into the goal. And that's it.
It's a judgment call.
That's it.
Well,
period.
We like hearing coaches go off on officiating, right? Everybody likes that. So Peter Vermees was asked about the officiating in that situation in particular last night.
A complete cluster. That's what it was. It was a complete cluster. And I'll tell you exactly why. Because if you're not calling a penalty, right, Johnny still has the ball. Completely takes the possession away from us and allows the other team off the hook, number one. Number two is you call a penalty. The rule is, has to be clear and obvious. There's no doubt in my mind that that player hits Johnny Russell. Hits him. How you call that back, I have absolutely zero idea. Complete cluster, disrespect to our team, to the efforts put in by everybody every day, to the fan base. It's disrespectful. I can't understand it. I don't know how, when you have replays, you can make that much of a mistake. We had the same thing happen last year. We were in Dallas. We played there. Great chance. Actually, the foul was called against us. It was the easiest call to make. You could have actually thrown the goalkeeper out if you wanted to as well on the play. And it was a foul against us going out. So what I say to you is very, very disappointed. Very, very disappointed. I thought the officiating of the game was below average. Simple as can be. That play was horrible.
A cluster, disrespectful to the players on the field and the efforts they put in. And look, I mean, so what did you think, Jake? You said you don't think they should be able to review that play in the first place because it's a judgment call.
Horrible.
But they do that in the NBA now too, where you can challenge foul calls, right? They'll call foul and you can challenge it, and the ref go back and look at it and decide, yeah, that was right on that, or no, I was wrong on it.
Different games. But I don't like it in that sport either.
Because they're all judgment calls, right? Like, there's contact in basketball that they don't call fouls sometimes. Right. How much contact is a foul?
In my eyes, that was a foul. He called it. Period. It baffles me how many times I've seen, I don't even, maybe handball should be reviewed, maybe, because that's a somewhat of a judgment call too, but if it's clear, to this point, if it's obvious, then yeah.
You're not supposed to overturn. The way they do it in soccer, it's supposed to be, we're only trying to eliminate clear and obvious mistakes. We're not trying to get every little call right. Like in the NBA, they're trying to get every little call right. They'll sit there. We've seen games that take a half an hour to finish 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Because they'll review everything. Because they'll sit there and they'll zoom it all the way in to find out if he's a millimeter over the line or not. And in soccer, it's supposed to be reviews don't take any longer than 2 minutes because we want to keep playing the game. We're not trying to get every call right. We're just trying to eliminate the big mistakes.
The difference is there's stoppages in basketball that are natural to the game.
Right.
So if a play happens. Ball goes out of bounds. Okay, let's go back and look at it. But the game of soccer is not meant to be stopped. It's not part of the game.
The clock doesn't stop.
No. And so that it's apples and oranges in my eyes when you compare these replays. Baseball's different than basketball.
I like the
threshold.
I don't like a game taking 30 minutes to finish the last 30 seconds.
No, I don't either.
If it's that close, let's just get on with it. Come on.
I don't either. But in this instance, replay does not fit in soccer for this. It just doesn't, in my opinion.
Well, there's another issue that's at play there that we'll get to, and that is the official punishing the guy who actually tries to keep playing and rewarding the guy who dives and rolls around on the ground. And that's becoming a problem in basketball, too. We'll take a break. We'll talk about that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. So, here's the other point to this sporting game last night. Jake and I just spent the entire commercial break going off on our opinions on the whole situation. I ran into Johnny Russell after the game. We were walking out, and he was like, look,
He's
Scottish. Okay. One of the things I love about soccer is the cultures of the countries play out on the field. And in Scotland, like they want a street fight. You know, they're not there to play the prettiest game in the world a lot of times. Johnny's amazingly skilled and everything, but they want to. They think soccer should be a physical game. They don't value guys that fake injuries and roll around on the ground and stuff. That's not part of their culture. So he and Sporting and Peter Vermees feels that way. He wants guys to play the game. And Johnny Russell, he went to ground not because he was trying to buy a foul. He went to ground because he was trying to avoid getting fouled. He jumped over the tackle. That's why there wasn't as much contact. If he had left his legs on the ground, he could have taken the contact and fallen down. He went to ground to avoid completely getting taken out and then popped right back up and tried to play. Referee stopped play, called the penalty, and then reviews it and gives the ball to the goalkeeper after saying not won a penalty. And Johnny Russell's, and there were a lot of fouls to getting the fans mad. There was a player from Argentina on the other team who kept jumping in front of Sporting players and then diving to the ground before they even touched him. But and then the ref called those fouls. And Johnny Russell's like, so you're rewarding the guy that falls over all the time on purpose to try to buy a foul, and you're punishing the guy that gets back up to his feet and tries to keep playing. And that's a huge problem with the sport. I love so much. You guys know how much I love the sport. Everybody knows how much I love it. It is a problem. And here's part of the problem. You can't get a foul in soccer unless you fall down and lay on the ground. If you get up and keep playing, you don't get it. You get, even if the ref goes back and reviews, he's like, well, he got back up. It must not have been much of a foul. In basketball, that is a major positive in basketball. If Giannis gets hammered by somebody and finishes the play, he still gets the foul, right? He misses the shot, but there's contact that gave the defense an advantage unfairly. He gets a foul call. He doesn't have to fall down. Now, in order to draw a charge, you do. So guys fall down all the time trying to get charges, right? That's why these guys do it. It's not because they're soft. You got some of the toughest guys in the world that come from ghettos in Brazil and places like that. These guys are tough. They're doing it to get an advantage, not because they're soft. And so stop making an advantage. Stop rewarding it. And stop punishing the guy that tries to play on. And that's, to me, like, that's a huge problem with the game right now. If a guy gets fouled, he gets fouled. He doesn't have to fall over in order to get that foul. You should be good enough as a ref to say there was contact there and that put the player off. Johnny Russell, yes, was able to stay on the ball, but he fell down because the guy slid right through him and he fell down to try to avoid it and got back up to his feet to keep playing. That's a problem. And I don't, it's easy fix to me. But now, can you get all the refs in the world to finally start calling fouls if guys don't fall down? No. Good luck with that. So here we are. All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap things up on television right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Okay, that's going to do it for us on television, so we appreciate you watching on 38 The Spot. We've got a big show coming up still on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Buster Olney coming up next. Mike DeCourcy. We're going to talk about Conference Armageddon again and maybe the U.S. Women's National Team struggling in the Olympics. Matt Derrick to talk Chiefs, tomorrow's camp, and J.J. Piccolo all straight ahead.